We got up to 458, chapter 27, pasuk 1, four lines to the bottom of the page. Okay, so far we learned about the Aron, we learned about the Shulchan, we learned about the Menorah, we learned about the coverings of the Mishkan, we learned about the boards of the Mishkan, we learned about those various utensils. The next thing the pasuk is going to be discussing is one of the most important utensils of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan, and that was the Mizbeach, the altar, that they brought the Korbanos on. Now, as we're going to learn, and we learned in the past, there were two altars in the Mishkan and in the Beis HaMikdash. There was what was called the copper altar, which we're going to start learning now about, which one that they brought the sacrifices on. And then there was the golden Mizbeach, what was called the Mizbeach HaZav and Mizbeach HaPnimi. That Mizbeach was the one that they actually used to bring the incense every day, twice a day in the Beis HaMikdash. But the one we're going to learn, by the way, you have the same picture in your Chumashim on page 461. You have the same picture that I made the copies. I didn't realize it was in the Chumash. Okay. Now, just start a little bit learning about the Mizbeach, and then we'll discuss the in-depth concept of what the Mizbeach was really all about. The pasuk says like this, Vasisa es ha-mizbeach, you should make the altar. Ati shitim, again, this acacia wood, was not made out of gold, like the menorah was. And this was the only utensil, the Beis HaMikdash, basically the primary ones, that was not plated with gold. The shulchan was made out of ati shitim, covered with gold. The boards were made out of ati shitim, but they were covered with gold. This was plated with copper. And we'll see why in a minute. Vasisa mizbeach atzi shitim, you should make the mizbeach out of acacia wood. Chomesh amas erech, 5 amas the length. Chomesh amas rochboy, 5 amas, 5 cubits the width. Ravua yi amizbeach, it's your altar should be square, 5 amas by 5 amas. And that's the way we're learning in these classes, we're discussing that it's 2 feet an amma. So basically it was 10 feet by 10 feet. Vasholish amis kimosi. And the height of the Mizbeach was 3 amis, 3 cubits. Now Rashi right away brings down that there's 2 opinions. One opinion was that when the Torah says the height was 3 cubits, that's what the Torah means. The height was 3 cubits. Rashi brings down the second opinion, which is where the halacha is assumed to be, and that is that the Mizbeach was 10 amis high. Not 3 cubits high, 10 cubits high.
High.
20 feet.
It's a big difference.
Yeah. So the question is, like Rashi says, but the Torah says clearly 3 amas high. So how can you come along and you say, if you look, so Rashi answers that it is from the place. Here Rashi says, Misvas Seviv Ulamaila. Now, if you look in the pictures that you have, or in this book, see this picture 1 second. I just want to get this. I need to find this. Yeah, okay. If you look in the picture, Rashi explains like this: the whole Mizbeach was taken 10 amis high. Either Torah says 3 amis, it means the top part of Mizbeach that they actually brought the sacrifices in. Okay? Because if you see in
that
top part was 3 amis. No, the A was the horns on top. You know, I don't have one of these pictures. Yeah, you should look at them. In fact, if you look on this picture, on the right side it even has the dimensions. Okay? From the A to F at the bottom was 10 amis. Okay? Now, if you see on the right side of A, there was 1 amma. Okay? It says 1, and then there's 2. Okay? Now, this top part from C upward was 3 amis. So, therefore, the opinion that says the Mizbeach was 10 amis high says this, that the Torah says 3 amis. It means in that part of the Mizbeach, and we'll see what that part of the Mizbeach was actually for the actual sacrifices. But according to that opinion, the Mizbeach was 10 amis high. The first opinion says the Mizbeach was three Amos high, and that's it. But if you notice all the diagrams and the way Halacha discusses the Mizbeach of the Mishkan, this is the measurements. Five Amos. Five, five, ten. So if you're going again with the opinion that an Amos is 2 feet, the Mizbeach was 10 feet by 10 feet by 20 feet. And we'll learn how they got up to the Mizbeach. 20 feet high is pretty high. You know, they didn't have elevators in those days. Plus, you're not allowed to take steps. So that's why they had the ramp, like you see on the next page, on 463, when you see in the middle of the Mishkan, you have where it says the copper altar, Mizbeach HaNecheshes, and then there was the ramp that actually went up, and it was at a good angle that even the city would allow it to happen. It was at an angle that was able to walk up. In fact, that was 32 amos long, 64 feet long was that ramp. So it actually took up a lot of space. Now, okay, so therefore that's the beginning. And when you have the picture in front of you, it's so much clearer to understand what we're learning. So the pasuk says like this. You should make it 5 amos by 5 amos, 3 amos high. Vasisa karnaisav, you should make its horns al arba pinaisav. Now the horns are letter A. On the top of the Mizbeach were four, the Torah calls them horns, okay? In this picture, they're a little bit, if you can see in this picture, how much you're going to be able to see, but you see the top of the Mizbeach, the four horns, are shaped a little bit differently than in this picture. This picture is probably more correct, because they actually look like, this is just square things on top. These actually look more like a type of a horn on top. So the Torah says you have to make the horns. Mimena tia karnesov, the horns should come from it, meaning it wasn't that you had a mizbeach and then you took four pieces of wood and stuck it onto the mizbeach. This was made out of the wood itself. In other words, when they built the mizbeach, they carved it out so it was made in a way that the four horns were actually part of the mizbeach, not separate pieces added to the mizbeach. Vitzipisa eisen necheshes, and you cover it with copper. Meaning the whole thing of the Mizbeach, from top to bottom, was covered with copper. And we'll soon see why all the other utensils are made out of gold, plated with gold, and this Mizbeach was dafka made out of copper. We'll see it in a minute. Vasisa siresov ledashnei, you should make its pots to clear its ashes. And then it says, yeliyav, the shovels, Mizrakesav, its basins, Mizlagesav, its forks, Umachtesav, and its fire pans, Lechol Kelev Tasa Necheshes. All the Kelim were made out of copper. It means the whole Mizbeach and everything dealt with it was made out of copper. Now, what were these things for? Now, the other utensils of the Mizbeach were the practical usage of the Mizbeach. Now, for instance, they had to see, he says, if not, Rashi explains it. Okay, now all these things were made as follows. They needed, as Rashi explains, they had, when they use the carbonus, right? So number one, they needed to clear off the ashes. Okay, burnt meat would cause ashes. So they used to have things that looked like pans with shovels that they would actually shovel the ashes into the pan, and then they would clear it out. And then they had forks, that the Torah calls forks. They're basically things with hooks in them that when they burnt the meat on the Mizbeach, so to hasten the burning, they would hook the meat. It's like a spit of some sort. They would hook the meat, and then the kohen would be able to flip the meat on the Mizbeach to get it burnt. Because the meat that was burnt on the Mizbeach was not medium rare, wasn't rare, it wasn't well done, it was burnt completely until it became ashes. Hashem liked his meat very well done. So they would actually burn the meat until it became ashes. So all these utensils, what? No, not the meat that was burnt on the Mizbeach. The meat that was burnt on the Mizbeach. Okay, let's. There were many different categories of korbanos. There was one that was called Korban Ola. Korban Ola means lock, stock, and barrel. The whole animal was burnt on the altar. Nobody ate anything. It was completely burnt. That's why it's called Ola. The whole thing went up from top to bottom. It was burnt. Okay? Then there were certain korbanos that only the Kohanim would eat the meat. Meaning, some meat got burnt on the altar, some meat was eaten only by the Kohanim. There were certain animal korbanos, such as the korban shlomim, which in English is translated as a peace offering. One of the reasons it's called a peace offering, because it makes peace between everybody. God gets some, the Kohen gets some, and the Jew gets some. The Jew got part of the animal to eat, the Kohanim got part of the animal to eat, some of the animal was burnt on the Mizbeach, so it's basically a peace offering because everybody became happy with it. Certain korbanos, like we said, korban oila, was completely burnt. Certain animals, chatos and things like that, so the Mizbeach got certain parts, and the Kohanim ate, and the owner didn't eat anything. Because it was a sin offering, so the Kohanim ate part of the meat, God ate part of the meat, and the Jew ate nothing. So when a Jew brought a korban, the meat that was actually burnt on the Mizbeach, that was God's share. The meat that the Jew was allowed to eat, that wasn't burnt on the Mizbeach. That was just,
barbecue on the side.
Barbecue.
It's a lot of meat for the Kohanim,
we learned that there would be doctors in the Beis HaMikdash, because Kohanim would get sick often. Because they walked barefoot, in the Beis HaMikdash more so. The Beis HaMikdash, there was a stone floor. Not like the Mishkan. There was a stone floor, which is cold. Kohanim walked barefoot. They're not allowed to wear shoes or socks in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? So they walked barefoot, which itself can give you the chills. In addition to that, they ate a lot of meat. They didn't have vegetarians in those days. Especially not the Kohanim. If a Kohen was a vegetarian, he stayed hungry. The meat and the whole thing, the Kohanim would get sick often
for eating too much.
Eating too much, walking barefoot. It wasn't. The health department wouldn't agree with such a lifestyle. The Surgeon General wouldn't agree with it.
So they were all overweight.
I don't know if they were overweight. It depends how much meat they ate. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu said to God. Answer your question. He said, you have this Mizbech made out of wood with a coating of copper, okay, a thin coating of copper, and you burn animals on it. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, don't you think something's going to catch on fire here? The copper is going to melt. The Mizbech is going to burn. It's wood. And you're having a fire.
They don't go together.
So Hashem said, you're doubting my miracle ability. So it's like a miracle that the fire burnt on the Mizbeach and nothing, it was not fireproof, and nothing happened to the Mizbeach. That was like a miracle that happened in the Beis HaMikdash.
Maybe the fire department can learn from this.
But no, in addition to that, there's another miracle that the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, that it was actually the pillar of smoke that went up in the Mizbeach, when they burnt the Korbanos, went up as a straight column. Now even though the Mizbeach, like we learned already, was not inside the covered Mishkan. If you see on the picture on 463, the inner area of the Mishkan was covered, right, with all the three or four layers. The Mizbeach was outside the covered Mishkan. So the Mizbeach actually was in the open. So there was a miracle both in the Beis HaMikdash and in the Mishkan that there, even when a wind blew, number one, the smoke went straight up as a column, and the wind didn't even blow the column. Wow. Secondly, even when it rained, the fire of the Mizbeach was never extinguished. Not in the Beis HaMikdash, not in the Mishkan. Yes, sir.
This is all fascinating.
Thank you.
But in honesty, this is very, very illogical.
Yeah, good morning. God is very illogical. What's the problem?
It's the congruous part of the mitzvot and all that. I know that I understand that, but I feel that it doesn't matter what you do in the mitzvot, you still have an
You have an incomprehensible motive? What does that have to do with the Mishkan's miracles? The reasons why they were constant.
Miracles are miracles on the Mizbeach and all that, fine. Miracles splitting the sea, miracles, of course.
How does this get to the personal individual?
But the daily miracles of the sun coming up, day and night, all the miracles of life and all such, agree that on the daily basis. But also on this modem, on this action, this mitzvah, all this. It's understanding that it's a service to Hashem, but it's still baffling and immensely fascinating without a reason.
What's more fascinating? It's not without a reason. It's more fascinating when, in a few minutes, we're going to discuss the Mizbeach in the personal life of the Jew, in their own personal Mishkan that the Jew is building. The miracle of the Mizbeach is even a greater miracle. In other words, you have to understand, the Mishkan was God's home.
That's what's fascinating about it.
Now, when the Beis HaMikdash was built, not the Mishkan, when Shlomo HaMelech built the temple in the book of Melachim, so after the Beis HaMikdash was done, Shlomo HaMelech, in his brilliance, turned to Hashem and said, Hala Hashemayim u'shmei Hashemayim lo yichal kolucha. Shlomo HaMelech said to God, you know, this is astonishing. The heavens and everything over there is not big enough for you to house you. And this little building is going to be your home. Okay? So Shlomo HaMelech said it in wonder, so to speak. The heaven and everything on top of heaven, lo yichal kolucha, cannot handle you. And this bias, this little Beis HaMikdash, is going to be your home. And as we learned already in the past, the obvious question is, what do you mean that the Mishkan, or the Beis HaMikdash for that matter, is God's home, if God is all over? God's all over. There isn't a place that God doesn't exist. So what does it mean that the Mishkan is God's home, or the Beis HaMikdash is God's home, if God's all over? So the answer is, I believe this was discussed a long time ago, but the answer is that what is the definition of a home? When we use human terms in reference to God, we have to understand it from a human perspective, and then we can understand the way it works by Hashem. A person in the street is not the real person. When you go out into the street, you have to dress accordingly, you have to act accordingly, you have to talk accordingly, you're basically limited. It's not the real exposure of you. Okay? You can have guys that are wonderful human beings in the street and animals at home. Okay? But the real person is not the street person, it's the home person. Because the person in the home reveals himself the way they really are. The way the person really is, you can tell from the way they're at home, not the way they're on the street. So when you're speaking about a home for Hashem, you're talking about a place that Hashem could reveal himself, so to speak, the way he wants to be. That he's not limiting himself, or concealing himself, or contracting himself in a limited form based on the level that the world can handle. You're talking about a level of godliness that God is the way he wants to be. Now, when God does miracles, everybody says, wow, that's the hand of God. It's Yad Hashem, it's the hand of God. So basically, the Mishkan symbolized miracles because that openly shows the revelation of God. Of course, God is all over the world, but God is not revealed all over the world. When you look out in the world, you don't see godliness. You have to think, you have to meditate that nature is also miracles, it's just constant. A constant nature is called miracle, or a constant miracle is called nature, rather. Constant miracle is called nature, but in the Beis HaMikdash, when you see miracles, that's the place where God reveals himself. So all these things were done, especially Korbanos and Mizbeach, that we'll soon learn, is basically done as a place where Hashem is able to reveal himself, that people can openly look there and see, wow, that's Hashem.
Is this ultimate revelation of Hashem?
This is, but the Mishkan was the ultimate revelation of God based on the level that God was able to reveal or wanted to reveal himself then. The first temple was more than the Mishkan. the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be the ultimate revelation. Like we learned, the whole world is a build-up to Mashiach. So there's ups and downs, you know. So the ultimate revelation of God, the ultimate revelation of God, is in the era of Mashiach and Tchias HaMesim. But the Mishkan, on that level, was a great revelation of godliness.
Do we know what it would be more than what it is, what it was before?
Even the Beis HaMikdash was a greater revelation of godliness, because like we learned, the Mishkan walls were made out of wood, not the temple, the Mishkan in the desert.
I mean, 10 miracles
that happened. No, that was in the Beis HaMikdash too. Oh. But I'm saying, the structure of the Mishkan was made out of wood and animal skins. Okay? The coverings were, you know, the animal skins. So, basically, the Mishkan was a revelation of God into plant life and into animal life. But it didn't permeate into the inanimate, into the domain. The Beis HaMikdash was built out of stone, which meant that God's revelation in the Beis HaMikdash was so great that it was even able to permeate the stone. The greater revelation could reveal itself even to a lower level. Right? The fact that godliness could even permeate stones shows there was a much greater revelation of godliness than a godliness that permeated wood and animals.
3 out of 4.
What about Matan Torah?
3 out of 4.
Was that effective? Like you said, the whole world heard, but did they also see the revelation, or did they not?
Everybody saw the revelation. The whole world saw the revelation. But did Mount Sinai stay holy afterwards?
No.
Today there's no Beis HaMikdash, but the place is holy regardless. And it's interesting. When the Mishkan traveled, we mentioned this in the past, when the Mishkan traveled in the desert, at that moment when the Mishkan camped, that place was holy. The second the Mishkan moved, the place was no different than any other place. Mount Sinai, the greatest revelation of godliness until the coming of Mashiach was Mount Sinai, at Matan Torah, Har Sinai. The Mount Har Sinai, Hashem said, was only holy as long as God revealed Himself. B'mshech ha'yevel, hemiyalu b'har, the Pasuk says. The second godliness removed itself in the mountain, you were able to go up in the mountain. Mount Sinai today is not different than any other mountain in the, they don't even know where it is. Or they do know, they don't know what's the difference. Regardless, even if they do know, which they probably don't know, but even if they do know, it still wouldn't be any holier than here. The Beis HaMikdash, the Kedusha was so much greater, not only did it permeate the stones, the building was made out of stone, inanimate, but it even permeated the physical ground, that the ground, even without a Beis HaMikdash, is holy. So this is all the revelation of godliness, of becoming God's home, in a way that these are the various utensils. So when it came to primary, like the Rambam says, one of the primary mitzvahs of the building of the Beis HaMikdash was lahakriv bahem karbanos, to bring sacrifices. If you ask somebody in the street, what was the primary function of the temple? So they'll tell you right away, to bring sacrifices. But the truth is, you had a menorah, you had a shulchan, you had different utensils in the Beis HaMikdash, different work in the Beis HaMikdash. The primary was wood. I mean, the karbanos. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to God, hey, how can you have fire burning day and night? Leisichbe, it was a constant fire in the Mizbeach 24/7. And yet the wood and then the copper didn't melt and burn. So Hashem said, that don't worry, leave it to me. I do bigger miracles than that.
Including Shabbos.
Including Shabbos. And Yom Kippur. Every Tamid Tukar al Mizbeach, there was a constant fire. And we're going to soon discuss, when we get into a few more psukim over here, the way it worked in the personal mizbeach of a Jew's personal life, the heart of the Jew, which is the mizbeach of the Jew, the way it can coincide with the fires that were in the Mishkan's mizbeach and so on. But let's just finish up a few psukim. No, the earth stone was already in the first and second.
Rabbi, you mentioned the smoke from the korbanot. It was straight, and the wind couldn't blow it.
Right.
And I read in the Beit HaMikdash, I don't know if the Mishkan also, if God didn't accept the Korban, especially Korban Chatat, the smoke go like this, no straight.
I'm not saying it's not true, I never heard it. Okay. But I don't know. Okay, let's just learn a few more psukim to understand what the Mishkan actually looked like. So now the Torah says, Vasisalei Michvad and 460, Pasik Dalid. Okay? You should make for it a netting of copper. Vasisa alareshis, and on this netting of copper you should make Arba Tabis Necheshis, four rings of copper. Al Arba Ksesiv, and the four corners. Now if you look at your picture, you see B. B is this michbar, this netting. It's actually lattice work. You see B goes all around the middle of the mizbeach, right? Okay, that was the michbar that Hashem told him to make. And Hashem said, on this michbar, you make four rings. So if you see E, which pointed two rings on this side, and there are two rings on the opposite side, those rings were to put the poles in, which is D, to carry the Mishkan. Like all the other utensils of the Mishkan, because they had to carry them. So Hashem told him to make rings, and except the menorah didn't have rings, but on the opposite side. You see where the pole is on the opposite side.
So the pole, they take them off when they put the korban on.
Not necessarily.
No.
Not necessarily.
It's solid or empty? You mentioned it.
No, this mizbeach was empty. We're going to see in a second. Yeah, it was filled with earth. Okay. Now, v'nasata esei, and you should put it, okay, under karkev ha-mizbeach mumata, below the border of the mizbeach, v'isa ha-reshes, and the reshes, this copper lattice work should be, at chasei ha-mizbeach until half of the mizbeach. Now, if you see the letter C was see on the side? Well, I'm talking about this. Inside, I'm at 460, but I'm talking about this picture. You really have it in yours too. In the Chumash, you have what's called the Karkov. So you see the Michper is the netting. And then above the netting is that. Here it's C, okay? Now, what was C? C was a band that went around the Mizbeach. What was the purpose of that band? So, Chazal tell us that there was, when they sprinkled the blood of various sacrifices on the Mizbeach, some, the Torah says, have to be sprinkled on the top half of the Mizbeach, and some on the bottom half of the Mizbeach. So how did they know where top and bottom was? So that was C, which is called the Kark of the band. So the Torah says that B, this lattice work, which were the two pole, the two rings were put in to carry the Arden, was beneath C, beneath the Kark of the band. That's all the Torah is saying over here.
So the C actually was the bottom.
Okay. C, but C in below was the bottom half of the Mizbeach, but B was really in middle of the Mizbeach.
B was below C.
That's what the Torah is saying over here. You should put it, and the rest should be on Chatzim Mizbeach. Now, in the pasuk continues, Vasisa Badam La Mizbeach, you should make poles for the Mizbeach, which is D. Okay, Badi Atishitim, boards made out of, poles made out of wood, V'tzipitza Eisim Necheshes, and you make him cover them with copper. Again, everything here was copper. There was no gold, there was no silver, everything was copper. V'huva is Bada B'tabois, and you put the poles into the rings, V'hoya Abadim, and the poles would be, Al Tshtei Tzalei Samizbeach, on the two sides of the Mizbeach, when when they carried it. Okay? So basically, the pasuk seems to imply that the poles were only in there when they carried it. Okay? But the pasuk says they were basically made to carry the poles, to carry the Mizbeach. Yes.
It seems like they would have to be giants if they would carry this on their shoulders. 6 hours off the floor, poles are? 6 times 12 feet off the floor?
It was 6 amis, so it was either 9 feet or, first of all, the people were taller in those days. Meshabenu was 15 feet tall. Meshabenu was 10 amis. Rashi says in Chumash. No. 10 amas is either 15 feet or 20 feet. Mm-hmm. If we're discussing here the 2 feet per amma, Meshe Rabbeinu is 20 feet.
Does that mean that everybody was tall because you were tall? Isn't that...
No.
No?
Obviously, they had strong... thanks.
That it's not that the people carry the Mishkan
in
the face of Mishkan, that those things carry the people.
No, just the Aron.
Oh, just the Aron?
Just the Aron, nothing else. But this Mizbeach, oh, by the way, what we're going to learn, this is why I didn't say it yet, but now that you bring up this point, the Mizbeach was hollow. It wasn't solid wood. Now, inside the Mizbeach, this was the outer form, inside the Mizbeach was filled with dirt. Now, when they carried the Mizbeach, they emptied out the dirt. They didn't carry it with the dirt. No.
What's the dirt for? The dirt. What's the dirt for?
What's the reason?
Because the Torah calls it Mizbeach Adama Tasali. The Torah calls it, in another place, it says, at the end of Parshas Yisrei, the Torah, if you look over here, here, on page 414, on page 414, back in the Chumash, yeah? Okay, it says, Mizbach Adama Tasali. You should make a Mizbeach out of dirt. So Rashi right away says, in this Pasuk, Rashi says, what does it mean, a Mizbeach of dirt? It wasn't dirt, it was copper. So Rashi says two interpretations. Either it was connected to the ground, or it was filled with ground. Rashi says that when they camped, it was hollow, and therefore they filled the inside with dirt. But the Torah says it should be from dirt. But, so therefore the Mizbeach really wasn't as solid as it looks. Because it was wood, thin, filled with dirt. So they were able to carry it, wasn't that heavy.
How high was the dirt?
All the way to the top.
The lattice work
you refer to. The lattice work was, you have the picture there, or it's, you have in the Chumash itself. Okay, so why it was there? Davis just said, no. It was a lattice work design. It wasn't, because the whole thing was made out of wood. The lattice wood went over the wood. So it wasn't holes through and through.
So why this was copper, the rest was gold?
Well, we didn't get there yet.
Excuse me, Rabbi.
Yeah.
I still don't understand, how can this be like 12 feet tall, the staves? Because they haven't discovered any fossils of people being 12 or 15 feet tall. I just don't understand. There were no
first of all, they could have carried it like this, you know? 6 amas could be 9 feet, it could be 12 feet. If it's 9 feet, it's not a problem. The guys are 6 feet and they picked up their hands. Obviously, they did it. I mean, they carried, and they didn't run, and they didn't go on stilts to carry it. They walked and they carried it. Okay, let's just finish up over. Then we'll discuss it. Vuvas badav badabois. You put the poles into the rings. The ring should be there to taken. Now, nevuv luches taaseisi. Hollow of boards. You should make it. Meaning, like we said, the mizbeach was hollow. And it was filled with dirt. And that's what the Torah is saying over here. And whenever they camped, Kasherhera Ischa Bahar Kenyasu, the way I showed you in the mountain, that's where you make it. And Harsin Hashem showed him how to make this Mizbeach, and that's what he did. So basically, as we can see from the picture, now just to discuss them, and now part of this, by the way, is not discussed at all in this parsha, as you can see. If you look at the whole Mizbeach was 10 amos high. That's where we're going. From the bottom to the top of the horns. Okay? Now, on F, at the bottom, is what's called the base of the menorah, of the Mizbech. You have this in your Chumash also, but they don't show the measurements of it. Okay? F is the base of the Mizbech, which was wider. That was 1 amma high. Okay? Now, then there was an indentation for the actual Mizbech. So it was 5 amas wide, as you can see in the picture. And then it went up until the top of the reshes, okay, was six amas until the top of the lattice work. Then there was another amma for C in that part. And then there was three amas on top. Now, on top of the Mizbeach, in the middle, was a place for the fire. And then there was area for the Kohanim to walk around it. Because the Kohanim had to be on top of the Mizbeach to burn the meat. So, there was an area, in fact, in this picture. You can see it a little clearer. On top, there's a little square, on top of the menorah, between the horns, there's a square thing. That's where the actual fire of the Mizbeach was. And the area around it was for the Kohanim to walk around when they were working on the Mizbeach. Now, how did they get up to this Mizbeach? So there was a ramp. It was a very long ramp because they had to be at an angle, an incline, that they should be able to walk up. But you see on the next page in the Chumash on 463. There was a ramp on the south side of the Mizbeach. Because inside the Mizbeach was west. Okay? So that way was north. The ramp was on the south side of the Chotzer of the Mishkan. That the Kohen were able to walk up with the animals. Because the Torah says you're not allowed to have steps on the Mizbeach. And therefore they had a ramp for the Kohen to walk up to the Mizbeach. To drag up the meat after they shechted it. To be able to bring it and to burn it on the Mizbeach.
So the animal was shechted at the
bottom. The animal was not shechted in the Mizbeach. Mm-hmm. The shechitasim batzofen on the north side, then they stepped the animal up, then they sprinkled the blood on the Mizbeach, sometimes on the top half, sometimes at the bottom half, which is letter C, to divide the Mizbeach, mm-hmm. And then they would bring the meat that had to get burnt, they would drag it up the ramp, you know, a few kainim, whatever it took, to drag it up on the ramp, and then they did what they had to, and they burnt it in the middle of the Mizbeach.
They didn't have to cash it
in. No, God was not that religious. God doesn't eat meat. Well, they had alcohol korban chetakriv melach. They had salt on every korban. Yeah. No matter what the korban was, every korban had to have salt.
Three times it mentioned.
Yeah, it was a ton of salt, a lot of salt. But it wasn't because Hashem liked the salt. This is all spiritual things. Now, the Mefarshim explained a few interesting things. Why is the Mizbeach called Mizbeach? Why is it called Mizbeach? Where does the word come from? So simply the Mefarshim say, it comes from the word Zevach. Zevach means offering. So because the Mizbeach was the thing that they brought the offering on, it was called Mizbeach. That's one thing. Now, the Daskim Balatesis and the Midrashim say another interesting thing over here. The word Mizbeach is an acronym for Mechila, Schus, Bracha, and Chaim. Because the main purpose of the Mizbeach was to get forgiveness for the Jewish people when they sinned, right? To have Mechila. So the first letter of the Mizbeach is Mechila. And then the second one is that the Jews should have a Schus, a merit. Then they should have a bracha. And they should have chayim. So this is the Mizbeach. And he says also, he continues and he says, why were they five by five? Five amas by five amas? Because it corresponds with the Ten Commandments. Five on this side, five on this side. So the width and the length is five. And then he says, three amas the height, what the Torah says clearly, is corresponding with Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Okay? So this is all the various different, you know, concepts of what the Mizbeach represented. But there was a very interesting halacha when it came to the Mizbeach. The Gemara says, especially in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a fire that came down from heaven that burnt on the Mizbeach. In fact, it was crouched, the Gemara says, like a lion. The fire that fell, a coal, the Gemara says, a coal fell down from heaven in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, and actually crouched like a lion, and that was a godly fire on the Mizbeach. In addition to that, the Torah says, Eish tamet tukar al Mizbeach le'sichbe, there was a mitzvah for the Jews to feed the fire of the Mizbeach with their own wood. And that was, even though the fire from God constantly burnt, but the Torah says, you have to bring your own wood to feed the fire. Now, what does this mean, obviously, in a spiritual sense? A Jew, we know that when you eat, you know, the table is called a mizbeach. A table is called a mizbeach. That's the reason why there's always salt on the table, especially when you wash, which is a real meal. You wash, you're supposed to have salt on the table, because the Torah says, anytime you brought a sacrifice, you need to have melach, which is salt. So therefore, because a table is likened to an altar, you need to have salt. Why is a table likened to an altar? Because when a person eats, Chassidus explains, when a person eats, and they eat the right way, they're actually sacrificing a carbon to God. Because when you eat, you burn your system burns the food, you digest it, you burn it, and then it gives life to the person. It goes into the blood and the organs, it becomes the health of the person. You need to eat. So when a person eats, in a physical sense, and they eat with the bracha, and they eat the proper kosher food, and they eat it for the right purposes, the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, you elevate that food, ka'ayla o ka'karbon, like the highest level of a carbon, which is a burnt offering, which is the holiest type of a carbon, because it was completely burnt and given to God. So the Aveda of the Jew is basically to elevate. What was the concept of the Mizbeach? The Mizbeach was, you took physical objects, okay? Because when they brought a carbon, there was interesting, Chazal tell us, there was inanimate, plant, animal, and human involved in every carbon. Let's say you brought an animal, right? You had the animal, then you had a flower offering that accompanied every animal, then you had the pouring of water, and then you had the person bringing it. So when a person brought a carbon, the inanimate, plant, animal, and human part of the world was all involved in the carbon, so it elevated every part of the world, the inanimate, plant, animal, and human. But the Torah says, the ultimate goal of the Jew is to elevate the world, like Ola means to go up, to elevate the world to godliness. So every Jew really has the Avoida, so to speak, of a Mizbech. But the Torah says, there's two parts of this godly fire that a Jew has. A Jew has a neshama. Okay? We know that neshama is likened to fire. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, the candle of God is the soul of man. Anytime you deal with death issues, there's always candles burning. Whether it's Yahrzeit, Shiva, I mean, there's always candles burning. Because a neshama is the candle of God. So there is, God gives us this godly fire that came down from heaven. That represents the neshama that God gives us. But God says, it's not enough just to have this godly fire. You have to add, you have to bring your own to make this fire bigger. Which means, in simple English, there are many people that say, I'm a Jew, and that's all I got to do. I don't have to do mitzvahs, because I'm, you know, connected to God, I have a neshama, I'm a soul, I'm a Jew at heart, and that's it. But God says, but that fire on the Mizbeach is not enough. What's important is that you also have to bring your own fire. You have to feed the fire on the Mizbeach by doing a mitzvah, by doing good deeds, by doing good things. That is the fire that the Jew is bringing. And the Pasuk says, Eish tamid tukad ala Mizbeach leisichbe, that you have to constantly have a fire burning, meaning a Jew has to always be enthusiastic and fiery and involved in Yiddishkeit in a way that is actually feeding the fire on the Mizbeach. So the Mizbeach within the personal Jew represents the Jew elevating the various parts of the world, especially the animalistic parts of the world, eating and sleeping and drinking and the normal human activities which we're similar to animals with. Those things have to be elevated in the Mizbeach of the personal Jew, which is as Aveda in serving God, to elevate the animal type of things, the worldly types of things, to godliness. And that's why Chazal tell us that the Mizbeach was made out of Nechashis. Like we asked, everything was made out of gold. Why is the Mizbeach was made out of Nechashis? Because the whole concept of the Mizbeach is for forgiveness, like we just said, Mechila. The ultimate original sin that caused evil to be in the world that needs to be elevated was the Chet of Eitz Hadas. And who caused the Eitz Hadas? The Nachash, which is the root of the word Nachashus. So therefore the whole Mizbeach to forgive evil and sins that it happens to, that the Jew, God forbid, sins, comes from the original Nachash. So Hashem says, if it comes from the original Nachash, then I want the Mizbeach to be made out of Nachashus.
What's Nachashus?
Copper. Oh. And in fact, as we learned at the beginning of Parshas Truma, when the Torah says you have to bring gold, silver, and copper, for those that were there, then remember that we asked the question, so gold and silver, I understand, but why copper? Copper is like a cheap material. Copper represents the sinning Jew. Gold represents a Baal Tshuva. Silver represents a Tzaddik. And the Cheshis represents a sinning Jew. Gold, we know the Pasuk says, Im yiruch atoechem kashonim, if your sins will be reddish, kashelag yalbino, Hashem says, I'll purify it with like snow. Okay, so sins are likened to red. Red is blood, red is evil, you know, it's a bloody color. So, Hashem says, a tzaddik, though, is a person who transformed their evil to good, and therefore, Baal Tshuva is gold. But it's a very expensive gold. Gold is very expensive. But there's a reddish tint to it, which represents the Baal Tshuva who transformed his evil sins, the redness of sins, to the level of Kedusha. Tzaddik is Kesef. Kesef is whitish. It shows they're always pure. They never sinned. Kesef comes to the word Nichseif, Nichsafti. We're saying the Nefesh. Meaning there's a longing. That's a Tzaddik who longs to be with God. The Cheshis, on the other hand, is red, reddish, and is cheap. Relatively speaking. That represents a person who sins, and that's why Necheshes comes the word Nachash, which represents the sinning. So, the Necheshes represents, which is another interesting concept, Necheshes represents the sinning Jew, and the whole Mizbeach was made out of that material. Because the ultimate is that even the sinners also elevate themselves to a stage of Kedusha, as the Mizbeach did it. What?
This is the reason why God asked after Korach to take the Machbatot and the Mizbeach?
Yeah.
What is that?
No, God told him to take the incense to burn on the Mizbeach to see who's going to be right or not. To show, like, who was going to be punished or not. But the whole concept of them, in fact, we learned also, the Kohen, one of the holiest garments the Kohen Gadol wore, was the Choshen, the breastplate, with the stones in it and so on. Choshen is the same letters as Nachash. Because the whole concept of the Choshen was to transform the Nachash, the snake concept, into a level of a breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. So the whole concept of the Mizbeach, which was one of the primary purposes of the Mishkan, was a transformation of evil into good. You took an animal, you burnt it on the Mizbeach. You took the blood, and you sprinkled it on the Mizbeach. Like we discussed in the past, the blood is the life of the person. Blood represents the enjoyment of life. You take the blood of the animal, of your animalistic temptations, meaning the enthusiasm of the worldly temptations, and you sprinkle it on the Mizbeach, meaning you're taking this power of enthusiasm that until now was with worldly things, and now you bring it and give it to God. You show enthusiasm to godly things. You take the animal soul, the animal within the person, you bring it on the Mizbeach, to show that you're elevating your own evil animalistic things, and you're elevating it to the sake of godliness. So this is the whole concept of the Mizbeach in a personal sense, which now we can understand why it had to be from the Cheshis, and why it had to be this and that, because this all represents the transformation within the Jew of sacrificing themselves to God. Not killing themselves, God forbid, but sacrificing their enthusiasm and excitement of worldly things to become closer to God. So that's why this is like... And therefore, he says that Mizbeach stands for Mechila, you know, Schuz, Bracha, Chayim, and it was five Amis corresponding with the Luchis, and, you know, so on and so forth. Another thing the Klal Yoker also over here adds, that why was the Mizbeach also out of Atzei Shittim? Okay, because Shittim comes from the word Shtus. So Hashem said, the Jews did a Shtus. The Jews did a foolish thing by sinning in the golden calf. So how are we going to rectify it? We're going to take the same shtus, the same foolishness that they did to worship the eagle, and we're going to transform it to make a mizbeach out of the same shittim, out of the same shtus that they actually used.
What's shittim?
It's a type of a wood, but it comes from the word shtus. And therefore, the Klal Yoker takes it even a step further. Why was the mizbeach hollow? Because if a person's hollow, they're empty. This is what he said. There's no understanding of godliness. It's an empty person. You have to transform him into making an, like he says, tzarech sheyich kach lelev. He has to take this heart to do tshuva. And he says that three amos of the height is the average size, height of the person. And you know, he goes through the whole concept of the various different things. And he says, why do you need a net? Explain this in a spiritual sense. What's the purpose of the lattice work, which looks like a net? I mean, why did you need that on the Mizbeach? So the answer is because the Yetzirah has a net. He wants to catch you to sin. That's what he says. Ki Yetzirah, but the Yetzirah, prayer to Shereshes, throws out a net to capture you.
Ambush
you. So the Torah says, you know what, you got to do the opposite. You have to make a net on the Mizbeach. Okay, then he says about the fire burning, and it didn't consume it, and it was set safe from water, and he was safe from the air, and he was safe from the ground. In other words, it's interesting. Klal Yoker takes it even a step further and says, the Mizbeach did not get affected by rain. Like we said, the rain didn't put out the fire. The wind didn't blow it all out. The fire of the Mizbeach was there. And then the earth was what the Mizbeach was filled with. So he said the Mizbeach actually saved the person from all bad four elements. Fire, air, earth, and water. These are the four primary elements that the Chassidus talks about, the Rambam talks about. Fire, air, earth, and water. Now, fire of evil, as Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, is haughtiness and anger. Air of evil represents boasting. No, gava is a fire. Fire always goes upward. Kas and gaiva is fire. Hailalis, leitzan is dvarim b'teilim, like boasting, idle words, just empty stuff is the element of evil ruach. Water represents all temptations. Water makes everything grow. And earth is laziness and sadness. So these are the four elements in evil. So the Mizbeach had all these four concepts of elements, of the four elements. The rain didn't put it out, and the air didn't put it out, and it was made from earth, and it was made from fire that was on the Mizbeach. That when a Jew had a Mizbeach, it protected...
The water?
Huh? Water was that the rain never put out the fires. So it was, the Mizbeach was protected from the rain.
And that's representing?
All the pleasures of the world.
Pleasures.
And he says, it's interesting, he also says that there's the Mizbeach saved the person from the four capital punishments. What are the four capital punishments? Skila, Sreifa, Hedek, and Chenek. So he says, it's saved from fire because the fire of the Mizbeach. Okay? It's saved from the sword because it says, hey, where did he go? You can't have metal on the Mizbeach. You're not allowed to put metal on the second metal. Charge the Mizbeach is not kosher. From Chenek, because it says, how do you get choking? You're going to drown in the river. Now that there's no temple, so how did he get choking? God kills you by drowning. So the Mizbeach was safe from the rain. So it's interesting the way these four things that the Mizbeach protected a person from the four bad elements of the world. It protected a person from the four capital punishments of the world. It protected the person from all possible things. So the Mizbeach represents, in a spiritual sense, forgiveness for the golden calf. It represents forgiveness for any sin. In a personal level, it refers to the person elevating themselves to godliness by making the fire. But the fire that comes down from heaven is not enough. You have to give your own fire. You have to do mitzvahs to feed the neshama's fire and so on and so forth. And that saved the person from all these types of things.
Only Kohanim were allowed to go to the Mishkan. No Levi, no Israel, right? Israel were not allowed to go to the Mishkan.
They're allowed to go into the courtyard. Yeah, but in the Beis HaMikdash, by the way, the Mishkan here was 5x5. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach, I mean, the Mizbeach was 32 Amos by 32 Amos. The Mizbeach was 64 feet by 64 feet in the Beis HaMikdash. Here was 10 feet by 10 feet. That was 64 feet by 64 feet.
Why would the Jews go into the Mishkan for?
If a guy wanted to bring a carbon.
That's right.
In the Beis HaMikdash, there were certain sections where everybody was allowed to go. Okay.